Podcasting 2.0 for August 26, 2022, episode 99. Air horns are lit. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the official board meeting of Podcasting 2.0, coming to you live from right nearby the grassy knoll in Dallas, Texas. Time once again for your weekly board meeting. Find out everything that's going on with Podcasting 2.0, what's happening with the namespace, what went on at Podcast Index in some brevity, and of course, everything happening at podcastindex.social. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of Dallas, Texas, and in Alabama. No, wait, two floors down, the man who slept like a baby last night. Say hello to my friend on the other end, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dave Jones.
Who is... Who's JR? Do I get to be JR? Or do you get to be JR?
It's who shot JR.
Oh.
Remember that? Who shot JR?
Yeah, my child of the 80s failed me. I was almost there. I forgot about the who shot thing. I just figured that you're JR and I'm the like the chick with the wavy hair.
No, you can be Bobby. You can be Bobby Ewing.
Bobby
was always, he was also the man from Atlantis, so he had extra, he had all these skills, you know.
who was that wasn't Farrah Fawcett. That was
it was a Sammy Joe, Heather Locklear.
Heather Locklear, that's it.
Sammy Joe. Who didn't have a Sammy Joe poster on the wall back in the day?
I had a poster of a Lamborghini.
There you go. There's the difference.
You had Sammy Joe. I had a Lamborghini.
You never got the Lamborghini. I never got Sammy Joe. There you
go. both true statements. Very true statements. Yes.
So we are live from Dallas, Podcast Movement 22. I'm on the 26th floor. I think you're on 23 or 21, whatever.
21.
It's always so interesting, but this is kind of the best way. I was like, we were talking last night. I said, why don't we just do it the way we always do it? You sit in your room. It's weird. It's weird to do a show that you do with someone remotely all the time and then just sit next to each other in the room. No.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
Feels weird. I don't feel good about that.
I'm just staring at you like, hey.
So,
hey, what's going on?
I don't think we need to go through all of the controversies that have taken place here at Podcast Movement. Pretty much everybody has read about it, I guess.
I have learnings that I can share.
Yeah, please.
Have three learnings.
Okay. All right.
The Sheraton, and my voice is completely wrecked, by the way.
Yeah, you sound like Barry. He's the Barry White of podcasting, ladies and gentlemen.
Let me tell you this. Everywhere you go in this place, there is music. You cannot have a conversation with anyone without yelling at the top of your lungs.
Yeah.
The entire time. It's like after 4 days, I'm just like, the voice is gone. It's completely wrecked.
Yeah, I had the same.
The Sheraton breakfast burrito, not good eats.
Piece of crap. And it's lukewarm. So we both had room service and we both inadvertently ordered the same thing. We're not sharing a room. And we compared notes. I'm like, what was that dreck that they threw into a tortilla? It was just, it's nasty. There's no service in hotels anymore. And it does, and it's gross. Also, it's a Sheraton, but it's owned by the Marriott. When our vacation fell apart going to Aruba, so we went to Fort Lauderdale, stayed at the Four Seasons, also owned by Marriott. It was even a bigger piece of shit than this. It's service has gone away. There's just no, people, I don't think they have enough people.
You and I literally went to, there's a branded Marriott across the street. And we literally went there to eat lunch just to escape the noise for an hour.
It's the energy too. You know, there's a lot of energy from a lot of different people. I've been to many conferences. You've been to conferences. But there is no quiet space anywhere. That's partially the acoustics of the building. But you're right. Everyone's just, well, first of all, we're talking a lot. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't talk this much in my normal day.
No. No, I hang out with accountants all day, so I'm not. I definitely do not talk to
beep, 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 beep. I need the horn too.
Oh man, I wish we got to get that.
We got to get that horn. What's your third learning?
Oh no, my second learning.
Oh, I'm sorry.
My second learning. Yes, I'm number two.
Oh,
the body wash and the shampoo in the Sheraton shower, I think it's the same thing on the inside with just a different label on it.
It's actually canola oil.
Rapeseed oil. It's a lie. The shampoo is a lie.
It's always fun to have your shampoo, body wash, and conditioner bolted to the wall. It just makes you feel like you're in prison. I just feel like I'm in a cell, man. It's like, what is this?
My third learning is that Ben Shapiro is the equivalent of, he's the human equivalent of uranium-235. He can harm you by merely being in the room with you. That is something I did not know about humanity.
I did a full 30-minute overview of my impression of the conference and the so-called industry that is here. So if you want to get a full dirty rundown, that would be a place to listen. I don't want to put too much nastiness because we had a really good time. No. We hung out with a lot of cool people, all of the 2.0 people that came out. And I'd say based upon this controversy, and interestingly how people responded to it, this went beyond politics. I tweeted and people didn't understand that in an odd way, this controversy kind of brought America a little closer together. Because a very frequent post or reply to this Twitter thread would be, I don't agree with anything Shapiro says, but... what is this? So it kind of brought people a little bit together, and it really, I've spoken to a couple of friends over the past. In fact, I spoke to a buddy of mine who lives, I wanted to have lunch or dinner with him, but I'm going to go home. I can't hang out with you, Vic. I said, where's all this coming from? Yeah, this is corporate America right now. And he said, the only difference is, it seems like in the podcasting world, they may have actually put numbers on the quotas, but in general, it's just like there's this, equity balancing act that sucks. It just sucks. And then, and the virtue signaling, which is clearly what happened here.
Right.
But looking at this level of quote unquote deplatforming and, other threats that were made to people about, well, if, there's complaints about you, you got to get out of here. I think that the entire Podcasting 2.0 orchestra, which, as contains banjos, washboards, triangles, and theremins.
Oh, yeah. Mouth, juice harps.
That's a good one.
Yes.
Congratulate yourselves. We built the escape hatch just in time. The escape hatch is there. The escape hatch from the monetization you're not going to get because it's really not available to everybody, I don't think. I think it's a very small group of, in my mind, very ESG-related type of podcast or projects or consultancies that or companies that do these things specifically that are taking a lot of the money flow. So I think value for... In fact, there were a couple of women from Afropods at our session.
Yeah, I know those, ladies.
You've spoken to them?
Well, I don't know them, but I've communicated with them over email because I reached out to them a while back. This is a good thing to talk about because I reached out to them a while back and said, hey, I just want to make sure that we have all the podcasts that you have in the directory.
Right.
Because we had the guy from Nairobi on about, he's doing Bitcoin stuff and. Like, I know that Africa is a emerging podcast ecosystem. And so I just want to make sure that we have all that stuff. So I reached out and everything. She's very nice. And then I talked to the guys at Disktopia.
Yeah. That's another, is that another hosting company?
So their DNA is really cool. Like, I think it's a black-owned business, and so they were telling me they have a really good relationship with Afropods, and we got talking about a lot of this stuff. But it's a really cool DNA company because they started out. They were telling me all about their history. They started out with seeing these young artists like hip hoppers and these kind of guys that were just signing their life away to like Spotify. And so they were like, don't do that. Just don't do that. So they started their music guys.
Yeah. They're music guys, right? Yeah.
Yeah. They're music streaming guys for indie musicians. And they say, they're like, okay, here, you know, their pitch is kind of like this. I hope I'm getting this right. The pitch is like, don't sign your life away just to get the excitement of being on Spotify. Come sign with us. You're going to get way better, better stream rates. We're actually going to pay you, you know, where you're going to get money. And, then there's like a windowing thing where it's like, okay, you're going to be exclusive on us and you're going to tell all your fans, you know, go listen to our new album on Disctopia, you know, and then after like 6 months, I don't know how long it is, after a certain amount of time, then you can go onto the other platforms but it gives them a chance to have all their stuff exclusive and get a better rate, get better money. And it also at the same time builds Disctopia's, you know, base.
Yeah, so sure.
They can have a bigger show. Like the way they were talking, those guys are cool, man. I really dig that. Yeah, no, they were great. And they've just gotten into podcasts and audiobooks and they're trying build that stuff up. So anyway,
that I love that. Well, the Afropods ladies, I think the CEO, I kept meeting her in the elevator, which was kind of weird and creepy at the same time. I felt like, I hope this woman doesn't think I'm stalking her. We were on the same floor, as it turns out. Okay. So the two main things, you know, in Africa, there's a huge radio culture, of course. You know, that's how they've been getting the word out, and it's all, you know, limited range, pretty local radio stations. It's the same in the Caribbean, in Africa, it's really prevalent. And so now that everybody has some form of a device that can at least, you know, depending on bandwidth, but, you know, there you go. Enter like the flip phone and what was Pod? What's that app on the flip phone? They also use
Pod LP.
Pod LP, yeah. And so they're super interested in value for value because, you know, the Bitcoin is understood very well in Africa. Yeah. Which I love. I love that everyone here is like, in Africa, like, hell yeah, because they've known nothing else but debased money their whole life.
Well, that's what the Disctopia guys were telling me. They were like, you know, you can't, monetization is almost impossible in Africa. Yeah. They're like, was it you that said that? I can't remember who told me this. Something like Bitcoin. Bitcoin's not, no, I know who it was. It's Gary Arndt. I was talking to him last night at the James Cridland meetup. Mm-hmm. And he said that because, you know, he's traveled everywhere. I mean, literally everywhere. He's been to 130 countries and all over Africa and everything. And he was saying that I think that Bitcoin will take off in Africa before it takes off pretty much anywhere else. Because the U.S. doesn't need Bitcoin is what he said.
Yeah, but Africa,
actually does.
Yeah, the countries, between the countries alone, they have different currencies and it's very hard to do business with your neighbor country, which we would say is a neighbor state, even though I realize Africa is big. So
huge.
Yeah,
huge.
It may not feel like a state, but, you know, so yeah,
it's got like 90, I think he said it has 90 countries just on that one continent.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
So, yeah, and it was great to be able to meet some of those people because, again, I just think that, you know, big corporations have been trying to capture podcasting and they failed once again. So I think we're doing the right thing here. And I love that these types of people are emerging and saying, hey, we see it. What do we do? How do we get started? And this is, you know, just looking at all the good energy that that we had in the in the groups. You know, we had a nice dinner with a whole bunch of people in the hosting business. You know, there's three people from Apple here who were doing their typical Apple thing. You know, like, because, you know, of course, I say, hey, how are you doing? When are you going to put the namespace in? and they give you that, hey, that Apple smile.
Yeah, the Apple smile that says, I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah, that guy who came in last night at the Cridland beer. Did you meet him, the Apple guy? He was like, yeah, he's Apple PR, which is great. Man, that guy is, he represents Apple so well. Hi. Hey, how you doing? Hey, I'm from Apple. Hey.
Do you know,
couldn't stop smiling.
He was a really nice guy. Did you notice they all have the same gray shirt?
Oh yeah! Uniform, babe. Yeah, uniform.
Uniform. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like IBM with the white shirt and the black tie
and the Dockers. Yeah,
Dockers. Yeah.
I had a nice hang with Mark from Clean Feed last night. Went out to dinner with him.
Guy, such a good guy.
Very good guy. It was nice because he's from the UK and he has a different perspective on a lot of things. But we had a real difference of opinion on some core issues, which was good because it was nice to talk to someone with a different perspective, and he actually had given me some insight on things that I'm biased about. Mm-hmm. But he does his company is Clean Feed, and they won an Emmy for their stuff's being used in films and music, and it's really interesting. And I said, we were talking about the conference. I said, you're not here to sell subscriptions. He said, no, I'm really here to meet with people and learn. And I like that. I said, oh, well, okay. He says, do you have any requests? I said, yeah, I sure do. I said, I'd like to have EQ per channel. That's all I need. You don't need to put any other processing in. It's just, I don't have enough inputs in my life in the mixer to be, put three people on remote through it. And he said, okay, yeah, we actually have that already. We just have to figure out how we want to do it. Because, he has two types of users. He has real novices and experts. Mm-hmm. And also he said he was talking to, he was working on maybe putting in some kind of lit streaming stuff that could integrate with hosting provider.
We talked a little bit about that. I think he's trailing. So he's like the co-founder of the company.
Yeah.
I think it's just a bunch of,
They're two nerds. They're two tech guys.
Yeah. A couple of audio nerds.
Yeah.
So when you tell him, when you say, hey, I want to do, it's kind of refreshing because usually like the contacts that we have with companies, like if I contact a hosting company, it's usually like, let me get you in touch with the tech people.
Right.
And like this is like the company, the Clean Feed is, they're nothing but tech people. So you immediately get, answers to questions.
Right.
But he was telling me a little bit about the difference. Everybody's getting into this game now. And so there's like Squadcast, Riverside, all these people. And he was telling me the difference between like what Clean Feed does versus mm-hmm. what those guys do. Mm-hmm. And their thing is like audio synchronization. Like they're exact with keeping both sides in sync.
Yeah. And like zero latency and all this stuff.
Latency. Yeah. Yeah. Cause it's so solid that you can use it for things like, what do they call it? Where they do voiceovers and stuff in film, like
ADR,
place
ADR,
yeah,
additional additional dialogue recording.
Okay, yeah, you can do it for stuff like that. I mean, it's really really solid, and they do during the pandemic they did all this stuff with like film people mm-hmm. and it's, I don't know, it was just really good. That was a good connection. We talked to him for what, 2 hours last night
at least, probably. Yeah, and 30 minutes of that was spent trying to explain to the server that any mustard or mustard seed in the food would kill him.
Yes, it would absolutely kill him. And he said it's not okay to give somebody else an EpiPen. I was prepared to jump over the table and stick it in his neck.
I said right away, I said, you got an EpiPen? Yeah, so I can Pulp Fiction you right in the teeth. No. Said, if that happens, it's way too late. Oh, I said, I should catch that immediately myself. Oh, okay.
First sign of breathing problems, I'm coming over the table.
Me too. I'm like, we need this guy in our life. We can't have him drop out. That's no good. That's no good. Yeah.
The podcasting 2.0 meetup with Ben from RSS and the Buzzsprout guys and kind of spearheaded that was great. It was great getting to see all the hosting companies come together and sort of declare that we're their dedication to open RSS, and we're gonna work together to further the medium, and that kind of thing. It was great.
It was
really nice,
outstanding. The only thing I would add, there were still a lot of, if not explicitly implied, like we have to do this to make Apple and Spotify see what we're doing and start complying with the standards. I just wanted to add, you know, there's also a lot of, let me just use the word, uplifting we can do of the current apps that are already producing this. Right. So, you know, we need to lift these apps up, educate customers, listeners, podcasters, that there are apps and they're mature enough. You know, I mean, it's a very personal thing, obviously, but at least someone needs the experience. And, you know, at this point, it's like if you have chiclets, you know, subscribe or listen, you know, it's not sufficient just have a podcast index logo. You know, I think we should be promoting the apps.
So I was talking to Kevin and Tom and Dan Benjamin about this yesterday at lunch. And we were talking about the apps specifically. And, they were looking at a few of them. And, like, Kevin was saying, you know, he's a designer by trade. And so he was like, you know, he said the problem here with Podverse, CurioCaster, that with the current crop of 2.0 apps, and he's like, they're technologically sound, but you pass a point where the technology of the app is just not.
Oh man, hold on a second, Dave.
And so,
hold on, Dave. You said you reach a certain point.
Oh, okay. Did I drop out?
Yeah, for a second there.
Okay. Now you reach a point where it's not the technology that's holding the app back. It's not the technology that's the problem, because the technology of the app is sound. It's the design. It's the UI. And that's actually much harder than the technology, because, like, good UI design is really hard. It's subtle. That's a real difficult thing. And we just spent some time talking about how hard it is. And this is true with all of open source. All of open source, you can tell the difference between an open source app and one that's not, usually in the polish of the UI and the subtlety of how it interacts. And it's just because designers, they're not going to work for free. I mean, you got to pay those guys that are good at it, and there's not a lot of design help in the open source world. And so, like, I think some of what holds back, take an app like Podverse, it's technologically so solid, but I'm afraid Mitch would have to spend a bunch of money to get a designer to come in and, like, reorganize the way that it functions in order to make it feel like an app. See, and this is part of the problem. I'm struggling even.
No, let me help you out. Let me jump in here for a second. So first of all, there's also a time factor. It takes time to create an app. Go back and look at the first iPhone, the first podcast app. You know, how has that evolved? And of course, it's not, you know, one person just doing all the work himself, like most of the app developers within the group, but they have entire teams. So there is just time, the feedback loop, the benefit, of course, of, and I don't think it's open source per se. I think it's really just maturity. Things take time. If you don't have a designer, it's going to take much longer for you to even get to a point where it's usable. And I'll add to that, I think there's probably 3,000 artists I know who I can reach out to who do artwork for No Agenda every single show. Some of those people are actual designers. And I'm quite sure that a number of them would be more than happy to partner up with somebody. And, you know, maybe they have a little bit of experience. Maybe they have a lot. Maybe they have none. You know, these are the types of things I'm looking for. Maybe we'll get some new ideas. It doesn't necessarily have to mean that someone has to go out and hire a designer. This is a good point. I've just never never thought of going and looking for them and putting out the call, which I'm going to do. And let's see who shows up. And anyone who's interested, just shoot off a mail or just go to podcastindex.social and request an invite. We'll send you one. The problem I have, but maybe I'm misunderstanding, is just because the apps aren't mature, I don't think is a reason to not highlight them and show people where it's going. And I think there's a lot of that. Well, the app's not really good yet. Well, that's also not true. Some of these apps are different. I personally find some of the standard, like Apple, I find boring. You know, it's like, I like these new things. They're a little funky. Maybe I'm different. But if we don't expose people to it, and you have to show both sides, because I could say the exact same for hosting companies. A lot of them are implementing things in ways that don't make sense to me. You know, so it's UI, UX is on both ends of the spectrum. It's, as long as we, and then put it in, hey, these are experimental, these are new, but here's where you can see what's working now, what's coming. I mean, this education has to happen. And I made that point during that dinner, like, that's where the real education of podcasting 2.0 will take place, is the hosting companies. They educate their people all the time.
Yeah, we talked the context. So the context of the conversation is interesting because it was because somebody that I don't want to name had said, y'all really need to do some thinking about this because nobody cares. Nobody cares about this stuff. Nobody cares about these features, all this kind of thing. And it was like, well, and so then that led to the idea of, you know, it's just a naysayer. And then, so that led to the discussion of, well, you don't, the listeners don't care because they don't know they're supposed to. Like, if once you see something like Podverse pop up a live stream notification, you're like, I don't ever want that to not be on my phone anymore.
Right, right.
But I never had it. And so, like, and if you had described it to me 6 years ago, if you had described to me, well, what about, would you want a live notification to pop up on your phone when a podcast goes live? I'd have been like, yeah, maybe. I mean, I wouldn't have been like super, I would have been just kind of ho-hum about it. But then when I see it in action and I can actually do it, it's like, yeah, I want that forever. I want all of my apps to do that. And there's every one of the podcasting 2.0 apps, every one of them has a feature that I feel like I now can't live without. But I didn't know that I wanted it before.
Yes.
And so then that led, you know, and so then that leads to, okay, well, how do you get, then the next step of that, this domino thing, is how do you get people to try these things out? And then so that was, we were flipping through and looking at a bunch of different apps, and it's like, well, this, you know, I want to convince a friend of mine to use such an app. And it's like that people are vain, and that first impression, it's like they don't want to give it a chance. It just is all in this context of like, how do we get rid of all these sort of vanity adoption problems.
Well, but it's all bullshit, and I'll tell you why. Because I've lived this movie. Mm. I lived it for 5-6 years. Nah, this is ridiculous. I gotta right click and copy a thing. What's XML? Like, no one will care. RSS, it means nothing. This, you know, it doesn't make any sense. You know, who wants to listen to people in a soliloquy? I've heard it all for 5-6 years, and it took a really long time. By the way, we wouldn't. Here's what could possibly happen. You know, someone like NPR, PBS, so there could be an entity that just decides to start using one of these. And I mean, I don't see, if I had NPR's money, I would, you know, and I was smart, not like the Pocket Cast deal. You know, I would whip up something that just worked for my NPR podcast with all these features. You know, anything like that can happen. Podcasting works in these very, there's something that just goes viral about them. And it's typically content related. And I'll just remind everybody that podcasting was the darling of the media. It was beautiful. This is the future. Money was flowing. And then we got YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and no one as they would say, no one gives a shit about podcasting. Facebook. Okay. I'm not kidding. It really was that. YouTube. No, it's got to be all video. Yeah, no one cares about audio. It's video now. In fact, I allowed myself also to be persuaded, and we even changed the name of the company from Pod Show to Mevio to pander to the venture capital and the industry. Oh yeah, we do video. Now, of course, we're actually doing video podcasts, which are quite impossible with storage and bandwidth. And it was just, the whole thing was nuts, but it was also a mistake. And then in, was it 2016? What brought podcasting back to the forefront was Serial. And the reason why was a beautiful confluence of events where we had all just gotten, oh yeah, let's just add this Netflix into that. Oh my God, we don't have to wait. We're streaming. We're binging. It's great. We're binging five seasons of, House of Cards and just binging. And then all of a sudden here was something, granted, murder mystery, true crime, very compelling topic. People like that. So it was content. And the fact, literally, that you had to wait a week. This was a whole new feeling for people. Oh, well, I can't get it. I have to wait. Oh, I can't wait. And that catapulted podcasting back into the stratosphere. You've got to give Joe Rogan his props, who helped many people start their podcast. Yeah, but this is, so it's all content driven.
Yeah. It's funny because the talk that you and I did, I guess it was, God, it feels like an eternity ago now. I guess Wednesday.
Yeah.
The talk we did then, I used screenshots of a lot of the different apps. And so we would talk about,
I like that. It was really, that was good.
Yeah. We talk about a feature. So, okay, here's a feature. And then here's a screenshot of this feature in action in an app. And I've gotten a bunch of feedback of people saying that they really appreciated seeing those screenshots because they're not using the apps. And so they're like, I kind of understood the concept of the person tag, but when I see it up on the screen in the app, I'm like, oh, now I get it. Now I get why that's a good feature. And that's, so there are these features, you're right. These features are exciting to people. But you can't force it.
No, you can't force it, but you have, the hosting companies have to show the other side. They're not. They're doing things, but they're not. It's not in their DNA to say, here's, however they need to communicate it. I don't think anyone's really doing that.
Well, what you always say, the podcaster has to do it too.
Of course. But the podcasters, they need to find out about it. They need to know it's supported. The people get into a rhythm, a flow. They don't want to, I don't know what that is yet. So there's that piece. And I just want to warn everybody, if you're still doing this to get Apple on board, it's misguided energy. They'll come if they feel like it. And if they don't, they won't. But it doesn't mean that it has no reason to exist. You don't need those guys. You can make your customers very, very happy with, and people they're learning, Dave, we've been doing the numbers. Everyone's been talking about the numbers. Let's just be 100 about this. Fire. There's very few active podcasts. It's really a much smaller number. Now there's a lot of things that update slowly over time. There's archival stuff, but in general shows that are lively, have communities that follow along from week to week or whatever it is, it's not a huge number.
No.
So there's plenty of room, plenty of opportunity.
I was doom scrolling through some sessions yesterday, just trying to find, I was trying to find stuff, interesting things and also stuff to mock and laugh at. So there's equal amounts of both here, which is great. But I went into a session from Rob Walsh at Libsyn, and he was saying, like, the beginning of the session was about how the 4 million number, the 4 million plus number in podcasting is bullshit. Hmm. And I'm like, okay, whatever. So then he says, But his point was valid. He's like, you know, if you think you're going up against 4 million podcasts, you're really not going up against 4 million podcasts. You're going up really against about 480 something thousand. Because that's the number that's consistently in the 90-day range, roughly.
I think that's right.
And if you start paring that down, if you start getting more specific and you exclude radio shows that rebroadcast, weekly sermons from churches, if you start, you know, if you really pare the number down, you can get that down to about 150,000 shows that are actively publishing on a regular basis. Those are your, so, you know, I don't think of it this way, but if you wanted to think of it this way, those are your competitors, you know, like if you're trying to get into podcasts. But that's fair. Okay. Fair, you know, fair number. But that shows you that that number, you know, the ecosystem is actually quite small.
Yeah.
And so just a little bit of voice can move the needle a lot. Like you highlight on No Agenda each week, you highlight a different podcast app, a 2.0 app.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we know from the people, from the app developers, Mitch and Stephen B, and we know that when you mention one, it moves the needle. I mean, they get new users. I mean, you know, like sometimes a large amount of new users. So just having, you know, talking about it and the podcasters have to understand this. If you tell your audience, you know, I really want you to go try out this app because it's a really great experience to listen to our show, they will do it.
Yep.
They will do it. And it makes a difference. And so, then that brings these apps up. It allows them to get bigger, have more opportunity. Like they have premium, that gives them more money to do better design. It's just, it all starts with the message, just like it does for Value for Value.
Well, and yes, it does. And now this is a question I've had on my list. We are almost at episode 100. 100! And I have 99. So I'm going to ask you this question now. Since we've been doing this almost 2 years, because this is a big thing that, you know, people overlook this, and there's always ongoing discussions about value for value versus tipping versus no one sends me any money. It's, you know, on and on and on and on. It's like we've seen all the reasons people want to fail. I want to ask you, Dave Jones, for the past 2 years, how has your value for value experience been?
That was not the question I thought you were going to ask me. That's it.
It may be a very hard question for you to answer, but we started this program, this show, we started the project, I convinced you and you took no convincing. I said, dude, we'll do this value for value. That's how we stay independent. It'll work. You watch. So I think we both agree that it worked because, you know, we hold our head above water, but in general, just, you know, the whole from beginning to end because we started asking for PayPal. We've actually, as the first project I've been involved in, transitioned over to full on value for value sats. Not full on, of course, we still have monthlies and big, and we do have supporters who come in with, you know, like a $500 PayPal for a month, which is great, but it's all still value for value. Never having done it, I'd like to kind of hear about your experience your experience with it.
I think my experience, there's an analogy here that I can't quite put my finger on, but, and maybe it'll come to me in a minute, but I think my experience is that it took a while to understand. Like it took probably months, maybe a year before I finally understood the full scope of what it meant. Because you get the value for value is about the full feedback loop. And you said that from the beginning, but sometimes it just takes a while to get it in your, to like see it, to visualize. And now I can explain value for value and it does, it's effortless. I can just do it. to anyone who asks. I could give them the full rundown of how the concept works. But in the early days, I was like, well, it's about giving your content away and then asking your audience to give you back the value. It's about not putting it behind a paywall. It's about not capping the price. I would always just get focused in on one aspect of it and lose the big picture of what the whole thing is. And that's, I think the maturity of my understanding of what value for value is took a long time, because now I don't get it pigeonholed anymore. I can just see the whole thing. Mm-hmm. It is, because people will say, well, you know, people don't value my content, right? You know, I can't just give away my content, right? They're essentially saying that they don't feel valued when they don't, if they don't charge something, or if they don't have control over the price. But that's, you never, the problem there is you never had control over the price. This is the thing that people miss, I believe, is that they think that by putting a price on something or putting it behind a subscription or whatever, they think that that means that they are in control of how much people pay them. But that's not true. You're still not in control, because people just won't buy your product. They're just not. You can have a lemonade stand and charge $1 per cup and think, well, I'm now in control of the pricing, and I'm controlling my income. But you've missed the 47 people that come by and buy a cup of lemonade. That's great. But what about the 125 people that just walk by and never do it because that $1 is too much? Or they walk by, and the opposite end of that, they walk by and they say, it's like $1 for a cup. It's like, that must not be very good. And they keep walking by. Like you're excluding your desire for control over the value proposition is eliminating your future potential earnings, because you're excluding people. You think you're not, but you are.
It is a different frame of mind. And I mean, once you can kind of get over that, and it is big, but you know, talk to some people, talk to Jen Briney. You know, she told me what she's doing per episode. She and her husband are now nomads. They love staying in hotels all over the world. They'll stay for a month or two. And, you know, we started her on Value for Value. Dvorak actually coached the hell out of her for as long as I can remember. And and there's a number of people who are doing it very successfully. You just have to erase the thinking. To me, it's the same. It's another part of like rankers. You know, the only is like, oh, this, you have to be on the chart. You have to be number one. None of it is true. This show is not even submitted to Apple Podcasts. You can't get, I mean, you have to subscribe manually. It's not there. And yeah, all you have to do is get, go ahead.
No, so we have 250 subscribers. The only subscriber count I know is Overcast, because he puts that in his user agent so we can see it. We have 250 people that subscribe to us on Overcast. Overcast is purely dependent on the iTunes directory for the source of its podcast feeds. We're not in the Apple podcast directory. Mm-mm. So that means 250 people.
Just on Overcast,
copied and pasted our feed off of podcastindex.org and put it. Copied it and pasted it into Overcast.
Yeah.
That's the only way to do it. 250 people in 2022.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. That cracks me up to no end. And that tells you how far people are willing to go to get the content that they want and how much they value it.
You know, this is going to be a weird analogy, but for me, because I've been doing, you know, value for value for so long, it's second nature. But the experience of trying something and then it works, something that you are convinced, or you have a bias, an unconscious bias, because, you know, you think, oh, you have to be number one, you got to be on the charts, you got to have, you know, this many downloads, you got to get to ad networks, whatever it is, or you know, yeah, easy for you to say, but you're Adam Curry, so lots of people want to give you money. Okay, no, but for me, I had this type of experience not too long ago. And it's like, you don't really realize how prayer works until you try it and something works. You know, it's like, oh, okay. Hold on a second. There may be something to this.
Yeah.
That kind of surprise experience is what you get with value for value when you try it. And when you ask, and people, it's amazing every single time. I mean, I'm blown away. When Marco gives us $500 a month, I'm like, that still blows me away.
Well, I guess the biggest voice this or it's being really vocal about, you know, I won't say it's anti-value for value, but it's just like about against giving away your content for free is the Tanner Campbell guy, and he's just, you know, he just rails about it. You can't give away your content for free. Listeners suck. They just want, you know, they don't, they've been trained not to give you, you know, not to value you and that kind of thing. And that's, I understand that you would get there. Cause when he explains it, I'm like, oh, sure. I understand how your thinking would land you at that place. But the value for value mindset, my response is you've never tried it. You've never actually tried it, because the biggest issue with value for value is that you, the content creator, are telling the world that you value your content. You're saying, you're expressing to the world how much you care and value your content, and that lets them pick up on it. If you give it away for free and you never ask and you never tell how much value that you think the content is worth, how do you expect them to know?
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's, you can't. Yeah. Yeah.
It's another part of the, it's a little frustrating, and we don't need to bitch too much about this, but yeah, you know, it's just like, well, you know, we need this to get it really adopted. We need adoption. We need to have this people talk. That's just not, that's just not how it will ever work. You know, that type of instant gratification adoption, you know, YouTube spends millions of dollars to promote their YouTube page, Twitter, you know, everyone's trying to do something. They have a massive scale, but you know, it's like things take time. Yeah. They just do. And podcasting it's just historic because it's decentralized, because a lot of moving pieces have to come together. There is no shortcut. And look at how far we've come from 2 years ago. 2 years ago, this is just some crazy nut job Republican right wing thing for the Curry's doing. You're trying to get rich.
Yeah.
to where we are today, where we have apps and hosting companies and you know, multiple wallet providers jumping in, you know, so it's working. But you know, it irritates me that people, well, you know, Julia, it's still the, well, Apple has to do app. No, they don't.
Yeah,
they don't.
I feel like this is the downslope of the emotional roller coaster of this conference, where it's like
we're just bitching. Okay, now.
Yeah, we're just bitching about podcast consulting is really what this all is. Yes. You know, because you said it from day one. You're like half the people here are just podcast consultants, and that is 100% true. Yep. It's like,
hold on a second.
Did we get a booster? Please tell me we got a booster gram.
No.
Boost! Yeah, it's just inevitable that after like 3 or 4 days of this, you're just like, oh my God, can we please stop talking about monetization strategies and, you know, all this bull crap?
Yes. Yes.
But I mean, we're talking about some tech stuff.
Yeah. I did want to say that, you know, just to wind it up, you know, all right, a very human trait. People are always looking for ways to explain why they will fail. You know, it's very typical. And I understand, but, I'm just going to keep hammering it that we continue to, I love it. Just, we need to lift all voices, lift all apps, lift everybody up, make sure you're promoting everybody else. That's, you know, and these charts and rankers, they just have no place in the new international lifestyle of value for value. They really don't. I wanted to give some feedback. I was looking, and this is tech stuff, before, okay. I would hope that the Rode was here.
Were they not?
I mean, I don't know if they are. I mean, I haven't, is there another floor that I should be walking of this conference?
Are you looking for the expo hall?
Oh, maybe that's what I was looking for.
Yeah, where all the booth, like the bevy of booths are.
I'm afraid to walk through there now after what I said yesterday on the show. Someone might punch me.
they may ask you to leave politely.
Yes, because I'm harming others.
Mr. Curry, can we have a discussion, please?
So I have one piece of feedback for Rode on their otherwise excellent Rodecaster Pro 2. Here's my only request to date. So they have a separate channel for the pads. And I like the pads because I can, you know, hit my bell when I don't have my bell. It's muscle memory, right? So these are big rubbery things. So it's like I can hit that and my hand knows where to go and I love it. Mm-hmm. The problem is there's no apparent way to apply any processing to that channel. So this is what I mean. I'm going to give you an example. So this is coming from the pad.
Boost!
This is coming from my own system running through a process channel.
Boost! Boost!
I don't hear it that much right there, actually. It's not a great example.
I can
example.
Tell no difference.
It's
between.
It's not a great example.
Okay.
But because you don't have compressor limiter, you can't really push it and push the quieter spots don't get, you know, brought up automatically. Okay. It's just an oversight, obviously. You know, it's like, we need to be able to process that one too. That's the only thing I need, Rode.
Okay.
All right. How about you?
We make a clip of that and put it on and send it to Rode. This is okay. All right, we got to do this. We've got to take the awful air horn thing.
Yeah.
Whatever that is.
Yeah.
We've got to hide it into helipad with a magic number.
Magic number that fires it. Yeah.
Yeah. And you gotta send us boost until you hit the magic number and then you get the brr, 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 you get that thing.
And that
we're not going to tell it.
You did a good one there. That was great.
I'm getting better. I'm getting better. Okay. So I was talking to Mike from Ivy, the Ivy app yesterday, ivy.fm. And he was bringing up that he was like, hey, I think we should rebroadcast pod pings. And what he means is, so he's like, you know, not all the hosting companies are doing it yet. And so there's always a large portion of the feed of episode discovery that we is like, if we discover an episode faster than y'all do, we could send that back out into Podping. If we just discovered it organically, you know, through feed polling, we could send that out onto Podping and then everybody gets the benefit of seeing it. And so maybe through that process, everything would be faster.
Mm.
And so we talked it out for a while. You know, the first concern there is that you're going to get into a pod ping circle, that you're going to get into an endless loop because, you know, I'm going to see the pod ping come through, find an episode, rebroadcast the episode. And it's just going to be like, you know, you're going to DDoS the whole pod ping network. So you got to figure that's not, we got to fix that part. But then the other thing is you don't necessarily want, if people find it at different times, let's just say that we're polling, Ivy's polling, I don't know who else would poll. Let's say Pocket Cast. I think they run their own index internally. Let's just say that they poll and we get them on board. A few different people, and they're rebroadcasting these things. I think what we need, I think it'll work, and I think it's a good idea. But I think what we need, and I need to talk to Alex and Brian about this, is perhaps a reason code. And the reason code would be something like found. So it would indicate, here's a pod ping,
right,
for a feed update, but this feed update is not canonical from the source of the feed. It was discovered organically somewhere else within the pod ping network. And so when I see a pod ping that comes through with a reason code of found or discovered or whatever this thing is, I would know that I could treat it differently. I would know that now this is just somebody else telling me they found something too. I can look. I know number one, not to rebroadcast it,
right?
Because to keep the circle from happening. But then I would also know that I could treat it a little bit differently. I could say, okay, I may have already discovered this, so I can look at try to do some time stamp, caching, maybe a cooldown period, something like that. I think it can work, and the benefit here is that we're never going to be able to reach all hosts,
right?
So you get 4 million feeds, and we can get a lot of hosting companies on board.
That's a really interesting idea.
I think so. I mean, it would just help everybody. It would help everybody.
Yeah.
Cause you're going to have, some obscure podcast host in, Bulgaria that we just can't really get in touch with and in contact, that only maybe hosts, 1,000 feeds. We don't have to go that far. It lets us get the benefit of Podping without having to literally reach
onboard everybody,
hundreds of people. Yeah.
I like it. That's a cool idea. Yeah.
Yeah. Feedback though.
There's no end to the creativity in this shit. I love it. And I love it. So cool.
Yeah.
Now, did we talk about Cameron, with, IPFS podcasting, that he's got this idea of dynamic value blocks.
Oh no.
So his idea is, and I think he has some code too.
Okay.
We might want to have him on pretty soon if he's ready for it and ready to talk about it.
Okay.
So the idea is, since IPFpodcasting.com has information about which node is hosting what, which, has episodes pinned. I think he can also know when a node is, used to access an MP3 file, and the idea here is to dynamically change the value block so that node then gets compensated with X amount determined by whoever for that session. Yeah, so they get a split of the value for value payments.
And this is to compensate the IPFS node for pinning the content.
Not just for the pinning, but for the download.
Oh, that's really interesting.
By the way, the pinning by itself is not a bad idea, except you can't, when we get to 100 nodes pinned it, that's a problem. But there's always going to be one or who knows? I don't know how IPFS works under the hood. So presumably every node would get a hit at some point.
You know who's big on, is a big IPFS guy is Alberto from RSS.com.
I know. He's running the big node. I know. There's a graph. You can look at the graph. You see it's all connected to, where is it? Italy? No, where is it? Where's that node?
Spain?
Yeah, they put the node in Spain. Yeah. You can see it. You can see all the pinning going on. It makes a lot of sense.
We should try to get Cameron and Alberto on.
Now you're talking.
To talk about the let's do that.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Because they're wanting to make this better, and I agree. Because the IPFS, I get frustrated with it, and maybe it's just me. I turned it off. I turned IPFS off on the download, on the database download, because it just kept crashing all the time. And now it's just HTTPS only. We just need to talk to Cameron because I feel like I'm missing something. If it's stable enough for them to do all this stuff with, maybe I'm just an idiot.
No, there's definitely problems.
I'm okay taking that on the chin. I'm all right. If it's me, it's me. I'm good.
I'm just logging into my IPFS podcasting. No, I mean, he's got some real graphs. Oh yeah, here you go. Like no agenda. It's almost like a ham radio repeater network where you can see it on the map, who's connected to who, and it's very interesting. And I guess this is ultimately why Filecoin was created to function as some compensation for nodes. But you know, that's where they lose me. I don't know what the hell is going on with that. But this seems if we can make it work, like okay, a download hit from this node, you get the split for the listen of that episode, which is kind of fair because you don't have to count bits and bytes transferred. We do it in minutes. Mm-hmm. Because you're getting a split per minute, or you're getting a part of the boostergram. Mm. So it's like Web 3. Oh, woo!
Nice. The Web 3. Yes. It's Web 3. It's Web 3, without
baby.
Web 3,
baby.
The best kind of Web 3 is when it doesn't have any Web 3 in it.
Yes, that's the best part. Beautiful. It's beautiful.
A chat tag or some sort of chat functionality for the live item. That this is something that we have to do, because we thought about the way that Stephen B has been doing it, by just off spec adding a chat URL to the live attribute to the live item tag,
right?
So you can say, okay, well here's where the chat lives, and you can just go like pull it up in an iframe or something. And you know, and that met his needs, but we need to do this in a better way, a more official way, so that we can have, you know, like social interact, we can have multiple protocols, XMPP, Matrix, whatever. Right. And, it just feels like it's needs to be its own tag, instead of trying to put it into the social interact. I don't know why. I cannot defend that. I can't. But it just feels like it's supposed to be.
Well, you can't defend what part? Oh, that it needs to be a new tag.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. Yes, I would. If we do it, I mean, there's from what I understand, a lot of people are jacked on Matrix, which is cool. I think Alex Gates specifically is XMPP. So I just want to make sure that we don't overlook one or be too biased for another.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it feels like most of the world that would be all in on this to get it bootstrapped is Matrix and not XMPP. That's just how it feels to me. This is completely unscientific.
If you want to meet podcasters where they are now, I would say that it's actually IRC. Because
IRC.
I mean, yeah, because think about the landscape as it exists right now. No, probably the three biggest live streamers in the podcasting world that I'm aware of, and I mean pure podcasters, not YouTube, Twitch stuff, pure podcasters, is probably you with No Agenda Stream, Twit with their live stuff, Accidental Tech. They also have a big live presence. All three of those are IRC based on their chat. And so I don't, please, I would like somebody else to tell me who I'm missing, because I know there's got to be other live streamers out there, and I would like to know what they're using. But so that's the, if you're going to meet with them where they're at now, what they're currently doing, we would support IRC first and then add something else.
I like that a lot. I like it as a third option. You're right. It's already working. And it kind of sets us up to avoid all the, you're doing it with the wrong thing bit, because now everyone will think we're doing it the wrong way.
But
we're going, that's a very interesting, I mean, of course, that's what Lit is already doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's got to be, I mean, IRC is so old that there's got to be lots of libraries out there that are available that would be easy to integrate. And if an app wanted to go full on integration right in the app, where, you know, that you can go, you can swipe over to the chat window, or the chat screen, from, so like, yeah, I'm thinking,
I like it.
You're swiping back and forth from, you know,
That's it. Okay. This is a great example. By the way, Harv Hat says Twitch is also IRC based, only obfuscated more.
Well, there you go.
Because here's what happens. Oh, this is very interesting. So the No Agenda chat has been around for 13 years, I think. And it was initially, you know, it's just an IRC channel, and it was always there for, you know, for live during the show, during the shows. But the No Agenda chat is active 24 hours a day. And the No Agenda chat added their own, the stream. I never came up with that. Even the chat wasn't my idea. But there's a community that lives in the No Agenda chat all the time. I mean, I'm logged in most of the time. I take a look, see what people are saying. That's a really good, I like it. Again, it's like everybody will say we're using the wrong stuff. That's the way to go. Then you know you're on the right path.
Yeah, it's like political. Yeah,
I like it. By the way, Midas also said, I think we have 2,400 subscribers on, Podcast Addict.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. People are listening.
How does he find that out? Is it?
I don't know. Somewhere? I don't know. When someone tells me something like that, I just take it as truth, fact.
Oh, we're global. We've gone global.
Should we talk about LNURL Mafia for a moment, just to understand where we are with those guys?
When you say LNURL Mafia, are you referring to the lazy ass bitches?
Yes, the ones just like the ETH maxis.
Yes. So you called them lazy ass bitches, which allowed me to say that the LNURL Mafia Telegram channel is the lab. Is the lab of where LNURL is built.
Lazy ass bitches. Yay.
Yes. By the way, they take that as a badge of honor.
I know.
I love that you called them that.
Yeah, they were. I saw it.
Yes.
So a little bit of history. When I first started looking at value for value in a layer two, I didn't know what layer two was. The first two things I looked at were LSAT, which is an API layer payment authorization token that has to be paid for. And I spent a lot of time with LNURL, or specifically LNBits. And I was fascinated by these extensions that they have, which also included tipping and some other things. But you know, every way I looked at it, you still had invoices that need to be generated. And it was above my technical hat. Or it's something I couldn't just do myself, which means if I have to set up something on a web server, then no, I'm not going to do it. And then I found Keysend, and for me as a broadcaster, it was like, oh, this makes so much sense. You're just spewing it, and if someone doesn't have their receiver on, tough luck, you know. It made a lot of sense for me as a broadcaster. But LNURL, I looked at extensively. I didn't see it being as easy as Keysend, but it was definitely up there. And so from a technical level, and you hadn't looked at any of this stuff back then. You were building the index while I was doing this stuff. And now that you have a much deeper understanding of the technology than I do, is LNURL viable in any way?
You're specifically talking about, and I want to be...
LNURL P, I guess, right?
P, yeah. LNURL pay is what this is. It is viable for boostergrams only. It will never work for streaming payments. It just can't.
Right.
It can't work. Streaming payments. To describe this for LNURL is a really easy thing to understand. So it's like putting a web server in front of your node, so that because the way Lightning works by default is it's invoice based. So the way it's supposed to work is I want Adam to pay me $10. I generate an invoice for $10. I send that invoice to Adam, and his wallet pays it, and then it settles. That's the way Lightning was in the beginning and still operates by default. Then later, there was this need arose for invoiceless payments, where I could send money from my node to another node without having to have the destination node generate an invoice beforehand. Because it's like, that's the way it is with Venmo. I can just Venmo you right. some money. I don't have to have you generate an invoice and send it to me. You can, but you don't have to. So when that was developed, that the original incarnation of that was Keysend. And Keysend uses on the fly sort of dummy invoices. So when a Keysend payment comes in, it just receives it as a dummy invoice type of thing that it just generates just to have something, just to have a hash. The LNURL was a variation of a solution to that problem where you can say, I want to send you a payment. And it will generate one on the an invoice on the fly.
It's basically just like having a little dude who sits there all day waiting for people to send you money. That dude hits an invoice, sends it to you, and then you pay.
Yes. So I can send you money without you having to be involved. But there's in order to make that happen, your node, the destination receiving node, has to have a web server in front of it.
Right.
In some capacity, so that it intercepts the request for the payment, talks to LND and says, generate an invoice. Once the invoice is generated, it hands it back to you, then you pay it. So that means every time you pay somebody through LNURLP, there's a web server and a web request involved
right.
before the payment settlement happens. So now you've just increased the workload on the node by double.
And not to mention, because I've set this up, you know, not to mention you got to poke holes in your firewall, do reverse proxy, get a certificate, make sure the certificate renews.
Yep.
You know, this is shit that I did once. The certificate automatic renewal didn't happen. And I'm like, fuck it. I'm not even looking at it anymore. I'm so sick of it.
It's a great thing. It's a great solution to a problem, but
we don't really have a problem.
Well, I agree with Roy. Just the solution is just use Keysend. I mean, Keysend exists to solve this exact problem.
Yeah, I think what's happening here, if I can just take a guess, is LNURL. I mean, people are waking up to what we're doing. And they're waking up and saying, oh, these guys are claiming some victory over tipping. We invented that a long time ago. What the hell? You should be using LNURL. You should be doing this. Yeah, it's much easier to put an LNURL invoice into my feed. Oh, okay. You go do that. And they're just saying this. And I conclude this because no one actually looks at what we're doing. No one has actually understood the importance of the streaming sats per minute. They haven't looked into that at all. But above all, they believe that just by telling us we should do it, that all of a sudden apps and hosting companies are going to do it. You know, it's just an arrogance based on being ignorant, I guess.
But I'm not doing it, and I'm not going to spend any effort on it because I'm convinced that it's just a waste of time.
Can I ask a question, though? AMP.
Yes.
What is the difference between Keysend and AMP, and should we be looking at supporting that?
AMP is already supported. It's already in the spec.
It's in the spec, but I don't know what it does. I don't know how it works, and why aren't we using it?
Well, AMP is automatic multipath payments.
Uh-huh.
So it's the idea that you can split up a payment and have like, so if you have an invoice or a payment for 10,000 sats, it split that up into four different batches of 2,500 sats and send each one of those through different routes. If it's a way to get past channel liquidity limitations, where you can say, okay, I've got things spread out amongst multiple channels. I don't have a single channel that can hold the whole, that can handle the entire payment. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to split it, and then it'll reassemble it on the other side.
So
the problem with AMP is that the support for it is so spotty that you get payment failures all the time.
Oh, that's okay. So it's not widely adopted enough. I get it.
Yeah. And I'm not sure if this is where I'm getting off. This is where I'm getting out of my knowledge. I don't know if C Lightning supports it or not. It may still be LND only. All I know is when you try to do AMP, you just cross your fingers and hope it works. And half the time it doesn't.
Okay.
It's technically in the spec, but nobody's brave enough to use it yet.
Right, but it's something that you flip. It's a bit you flip on the sending side.
Yeah, and it's got to be supported. It's got to be supported on the sender
and the path and the receiver.
Everybody,
everybody's
the whole support.
Yeah,
the
right.
whole chain down right. the line has right. to support it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good. Okay. Well, steady ahead, Captain Baines.
Steady as she goes.
Steady as she goes.
We want to thank some people.
Yeah, let me talk about the live boosts that have been coming in, the boostograms, since we've been chatting. Appreciate that, everybody. Value for value, you're soaking in it. This is this whole program, this whole project is run on people who are interested in the project, a part of it, just looking in the sidelines. They get value from it. Can't determine what their value is or why they see value, but they got it and they're sending it back. That's all we asked for. Time, talent, treasure, and the boostograms are some real treasure. Let's see what we have here while we've been live in the lit. 4567 from C. Brooklyn. I think that's Carolyn. Oh, all right. Here we go. She says, give me the horn. I should have known that was coming. This is the only episode we're going to do the horn.
No, it's we're gonna hide it. We're gonna hide it in the boostergram. Yes.
We got 5.7s, the super striper boost from Mike Newman. I like this ship, he says. Okay. Chimp 13,579 says boosting saves lives. Sure does.
Boost.
Then we have E Podcaster, 3,000 sats. Thank you, Adam and Dave, for leading the charge so podcasters like me can easily be part of the value for value model. Go podcasting.
Go podcasting!
Sir Spencer, big row of ducks, 22222. Yes, 22,222.
Nice.
That's a super row of ducks. And he says, I'm so grateful for the value for value lifestyle and mentality. It is an abundance mentality. Most of the people who don't get it are stuck in a scarcity mentality, and they can't see or quantify what V for V brings. When we opened ourselves to value for value, we have received value in ways that are hard to quantify. Networking, meetups, lifelong friends, gifts in the mail. Oh, yeah, I love those. It's not as simple as just sats and PayPal donations. It goes much deeper, and it changed my life for the better. Right on, man. Right on.
That's solid, man. You know, honestly.
That's a great way to look at it, from abundance mentality versus scarcity mentality.
It's great. It's a great way to look at it, because I was thinking this morning, of all the strong friendships that I could, you know, speak for myself and for you too, I'm sure, all the strong friendships that I've created now in the podcasting world. And that's value for value, because because we're giving it away. We're giving away our value, and the value that part of the value we're getting back are these solid relationships with great people.
Exactly.
And you can't buy that. You cannot put a price on that.
It's like no agenda. I mean, especially with the meetups with people who just organize and hang out together, there's lifelong friendships to come out of that. And a community gets built around the media property. I know wherever I am, anywhere in the world, if I've, if I have a need for something, if something's going on, all I have to do is just, you know, hop on either Twitter or, well, preferably No Agenda Social, even Telegram group. I said, here's what I need. And immediately I have someone who knows someone who could hook us up and do something.
You know, I feel that way too. I've got so many, friendships of, that are now on like Signal and Podcast Index Social. And I know that I could probably be anywhere at least in the country, and somebody would be close enough to help out with something. I mean, like you can't put a price on that.
Which is why I know that there's designers out there for the apps. And Sir Spencer says, stop talking like this. It's getting me misty-eyed. Okay. Boobery 2222. We tell people they are denying themselves half of our show by using Apple because they won't see the 6 to 7 new pieces of art we make for the chapters. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Boobery again, 17,776. Here we go. Hi. Quote, hi, I'd like to take you up on your offer to get help onboarding to PC 2.0, but it's way easier to sit here and bitch about YouTube taking my content down. Exactly. Okay, hello.
Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
400,000 sats from Anonymous.
Anonymous?
400,000 sats from Anonymous, and all that Anonymous says is go podcasting!
Go podcasting!
Holy crap.
Thank you. That came through CurioCaster, so I guess that's working now.
400,000?
Yeah, let me count the zeros. Yeah, 400,000. Thank you.
Man, Anonymous. I want to thank that guy or that girl.
Here we go.
that's a thank you.
That's a big thank you. Thank you. Oh, there you go.
Value for value.
That was great. Triple Fours from Yeldar pre-boost. I listened to every episode of Podcasting 2.0 and carefully followed the development of the project. You helped me protect and develop podcasting in Kazakhstan. You are doing a very important project. Thank you, and go podcasting.
Go podcasting.
Hello, Kazakhstan. Great success. That was a very bad
joke. Enjoy that horror money.
Wow. The Kazakhian mafia in the house. Nice.
Heck yeah.
All right. Well, so happy to hear that. You know, boost us some more. Let us know what's going on in Kazakhstan. How can we help? More importantly, how can we get an invitation to visit?
How can we get cheap gas? Please tell us that.
We want to jump in on those riots. It looks like fun. You guys are doing great work over there. And by the way, screw the CIA debasing you guys. Sorry about that. We're a-holes sometimes. let's see. Dreb Scott, row of sticks. Oh, this was the test. 11-11, testing the boost.
Boost!
And 100,000 sats from Brando Sellers from the Sleek Podcast.
Baller,
I'll throw in that one for him.
Caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
I haven't boosted in a while, so I'm upping my boost game. First time boosting with Podverse on mobile.
Nice.
Fantastic.
Nice.
Loving seeing that work. And did something else just come in? Yes. NA Millennial is listening with a super row of sticks. 11,111. And No Agenda Millennial says, thanks for the RSS help, Dave.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. You're welcome. Yeah. I've been really slow to respond to emails, but because of the travel, but I'm getting them as quick as I can. Sorry. I was a little delayed for a couple of days getting that fixed, but we got it.
Excellent.
Yep.
All right. Shape. Let's thank some of our donors that have come in during the week.
Got a couple of big PayPals. Mm-hmm. Marco, as usual, Marco coming in with 500.
Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
And Buzzsprout. $500.
Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yes, those donations seriously pay the bills every month.
Yep.
And RSS.com also comes in frequently with a huge PayPal donation. Those are the core of what we use to pay the bills. And the sats always stay on the node, and so that we can fund channels and liquidity. We never take any of those sats off the node. They just stay there.
I should just add one more thing. Dave and I have both desperately been looking, you know, we're very happy with other node and wallet providers who are cropping up, like Albi and the other people on the horizon, because we know inherently that having everything centralized or one or two can have problems. And we've been maintaining a node that we've been paying for, and we're happy we did, because some of the problems we've seen over the past few days with LN Pay, luckily, I think we're able to migrate that to our node. So know that, and this is just temporary for us, because we don't really don't like that, to be honest. If we don't like being in charge of anybody's money,
we don't want to be in the flow. Yeah,
we really don't want to do that. But we knew something like this could happen, and damn, I'm happy we did it.
So to be more specific, we pay Tim each month for a node, and so that's part of our hosting bills each month. We pay him for a node. But it's always just been empty.
Yeah.
It's just always for a year, it's just been sitting there doing nothing. And we were like, day.
And in a way, that's also because he's been offering his node for free. So I wanted to make sure that he got compensated and didn't feel like he was just, doing stuff for people without and getting any real value back. And I don't think he charged anyone anything at any point.
Yeah. I mean, Tim has been doing this as a charity.
Yeah.
For real. For a long time, and we told him straight up, we were like, hey, you got to get paid for this. I mean, you need to be supported. And, we asked him, we're like, how much is your hosting cost each month? And he told us, and we're like, well, that's what we're going to look at giving you.
Yeah.
We just want you. We want you to break even at least. Then you can go make money off other customers and that kind of thing. But we want to at least make sure that you're not doing this at a loss or for a charity.
Right.
And so then that's when all these problems happened, he was able to quickly migrate everything off of the broken node onto our node, and didn't really miss a beat. It picked up pretty quick.
Yeah. But of course the node has a different node ID. So some wallets have to change, and that's something we got to figure out how best to migrate that.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll have to talk about that. Luckily, there's not a lot of receiving wallets on there, so that's good.
Yeah, but we have sovereign feeds in our block, which has to change. And Dame Jennifer, I think she needs to change.
And also, Alex pinged me this morning about Mark Hall. I think Mark Hall still has a wallet. And that needs to change.
Yeah. And Mark Hall is going to be important pretty soon as we get the medium tag rolled out. I talked about it the other day. He's super excited. He talked to Richard Linkletter. Sir Mark is he's a filmmaker. I think he's also in some import export business, maybe with Afghanistan or Panama, I'm not sure. It's one of my criminal friends. But he's a filmmaker, and so he's very in tune for decades with the Austin film community. You know who Richard Linkletter is, right? He's like a very, very, very famous filmmaker.
I thought is that related to Ark Linkletter?
No.
Here's that. I'm thinking of two different people.
I think it's Linklater. Let me just see.
Okay, I'm misspelling it. Okay.
Yeah, no, that's my fault. So a couple of his movies. And so this, and I'll tell you what he said. And he just released one called Apollo 10 and a half, which is on Netflix. I would advise, it's a rotoscope. So it's something it's fun to watch.
Mark released this or Richard?
No, that's Linklater released that.
Okay.
Slacker, one of his movies. A Boy's Life, which won the Oscar. Remember they filmed over a 12-year period? Do you remember that? And they had all the actors and they filmed them throughout the 12 years of the making this movie. No, you don't know what I'm talking about. If it's not a Marvel Cinematic Universe, you don't know what it is, Dave? Is that what it is?
Nay, I'm better. Disproportionate use of force.
Unnecessary roughness.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, Boyhood. It was called Boyhood. That's what it was called.
Okay.
Boyhood. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, so he says, streaming world is all messed up. He says, we don't know where we're going to make money. Theaters are broken. We can't get into them. No one cares. The big streaming companies no longer have the budgets they had. So certainly when it comes to, smaller independent films, which is classified as up to like $10 or $12 million, We have no place to go. And Mark's been evangelizing value for value.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, you know, maybe we'll be able to get more into those circles, but documentaries especially. I mean, and there's a lot of people making quote unquote documentaries. You know, and I'm thinking,
I love documentaries. I'm addicted to them.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people who make documentaries, you know, just for online, you know, for BitChute or whatever. These things are also valid. These are great things to jam into a feed.
I got a buddy who invests in documentaries, and because he said there's some sort of, it's something under Trump. It may have been that early on Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, the TCJA or whatever, JA. I think it was something to do with that. It changed the tax law where you could boost up the amount that you deduct for investing in a Hollywood film it really raised that. So it brought in a lot of investment. But with the Netflix became the big buyer of all these documentaries because they would just pay you cash. You could just cash out. Your long-term earnings went down, but you could just have an immediate buy. And then now with Netflix going down the tubes, I'm sure that money is becoming much more selective and less abundant. And so it's one of those things where you come in, you've got this new player that comes in and just distorts the market. Mm-hmm. And now then they bail out essentially, or they can't, and now it's left, it sort of feels like it's left a crater where. And so I guess what I'm saying is I understand what he's saying.
Well, here's what I'm reading. The reviews on the new act are mixed. This is from 2018. According to those in the filmmaking business, in all, says CPA Fred Siegel, the new tax bill is not a good thing for filmmakers. It's muddled, not as muddled as people think.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There are some good parts, some bad parts. Okay, so this is why we don't understand, because it's confusing.
Yeah.
Anyway, that'll be something. Back to thanking people, I guess. We got stuck.
Back to thanking people,
we got stuck there. Sorry about that.
And we've got some boostergrams. Let's see here.
Boost!
10,000 sats from Chad Farrow. He says, it's a hackathon, not a hive-a-thon.
Okay. Ooh, looking for trouble.
Let's see, Mike Newman. 1,000... These big row of sticks, just I can't even speak them. 111,111 sats.
Get a baller for that.
Shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
Anything over 100K has got to get a
It's a slacker boostage by the end of the show. Great to hear Dame Jennifer bringing some sunshine to the boardroom. Go podcasting.
Yeah.
Go podcasting!
It was great to have Dame Jennifer on the show. A lot of good responses to that.
That was a great episode. I had a lot of fun. George Orwell, 1,111 sats, and he says, I am Justin Trudeau.
Yes.
So George Orwell is Justin Trudeau.
Just so you know.
Normally, I routed something like 10 payments every minute from LNP to podcasters. Since yesterday, I routed one payment per minute. The logs look okay, so I think it has something to do with with LNP and their node.
Yeah,
yes, it did.
So first of all, thank you very much, George Orwell, Justin Trudeau, because your channel to my Umbral actually was good because I still was receiving boosts because you provided a path when there was trouble with the Ellen Pay. Bad, of course, because I didn't notice shit was wrong. and I apologize for forced closing on you as I was trying to figure it out. And he was so kind. He waited until I had all my crap figured out and he just reopened another channel. And he's everywhere. He's got channels to all kinds of places that are showing up. So these are also people that provide tremendous value by putting their own liquidity up to help podcasting route. And we really appreciate it.
Well, I mean, he's a famous author and a prime minister at the same time. Of course, he's everywhere.
Right.
George Orwell back, 1,111 sats. Again, he says, I noticed that your node, Adam, has an inbound liquidity with zero base fee.
Yeah, that was he was looking at it when I was having problems.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. So that was that's a troubleshooting message. All right. 8008 boob donation from Chad Farrow. He says, the sats from Fountain to Animated No Agenda are probably from people watching on YouTube or in a tube and using Fountain to send a boost. I hear this quite often on lit shows, and I think people are just used to using Fountain to send sats, so that's what they do.
Hmm. Interesting. Boost!
8008 boob donation from Mere Mortals podcast from our buddy Kyron. He says, I don't think creating a podcast for each project is great. Sounds tedious all around. An alternative idea. Have a special episode with splits for the four projects, perhaps with them.
This is for the hackathon.
Hackathon, yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too. That may be a good idea, but I, you know what? We'll wait for the pimp manager, the pimp of the deed, for the pimp of the database. What is it? Dame Jennifer, pimp of the database. We'll wait for her to come back with her recommendations. But I think that's very valid. There's lots of good ideas, but it's in her capable hands. So she'll come back with questions or with ideas.
Yeah, we'll figure that out. And probably it's really going to come down to just not voting with money because that's just too gamble.
Probably.
I think that's where I've landed. Auburn Citadel, 100,049 sats.
Woohoo!
Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
And he says, where can I send sats for the hackathon? Boost!
Boost!
I don't know yet. We got to figure that out.
Can I just interject real quick?
Interject, please.
From Castomatic, 333,334 sats from Dreb Scott, boosting for the DJ air horn.
Woo!
Woo-hoo! Fire! Fire! And he followed up with 22,222 to ask if I got the boost for the sats. Yes. Yes. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, the DJ air horn. That thing. That thing has made my day. Yeah. It made this sunshine in this room right now. No, what really happened is Anonymous came in with 400,000 and Dreb. It pissed Dreb off because that's my turf.
Exactly. Don't mess with Batman.
Yeah, don't mess with Bruce Wayne. Let's see. Gene Everett sent us through Fountain. He sent us 33 sats and he just says, boost!
Yo!
Boost!
Gene Everett again, 33333 through Fountain. He says, Dame Jennifer is the guest. Woo, woo, woo. Boost.
Boost.
Gene from Armonk. Oh, it's your Armonk friend.
Yes. The Curry homestead is. And Gene is very familiar with the Curry family, apparently.
Oh, okay. Just another spook, huh? Yeah. Another spook in the family. Spook Central in Armonk. James Cridlin sent 1,001 sats, and he says, so exciting to hear that Pocket Cast is interested in podcasting 2.0. Yes, they are. I love that app, and would move back to it in a heartbeat. Go podcasting!
Go podcasting!
I would say it's not just Pocket Cast. I would say they're interested in the namespace across the board in general.
Yeah, WordPress, all of it.
Yeah.
We got to figure out how to get the podcast namespace into Tumblr, though. That's a weird one. We'll figure it out.
We're going to.
Yeah. Let's see. John Chigi, 4,761 sats through the Python Boot app. Ooh. That's his new app. He says, ooh. Hi, Dave and Adam, and listeners of Podcasting 2.0. Thanks to Boostergrams, I can actually say these value tokens have your name on them, unlike fiat fund coupons where defacing them with any message is a federal offense.
That's right.
Anyway, I encourage anyone that isn't already listening to Causality to visit engineered.network. As we analyze what went right and what went wrong, and we discover that many outcomes can be predicted, planned for, and even prevented, and you too can decide if the listener that called me a dreamy narrator was right or not.
Mm.
John is a dreamy narrator. He's got a sleep podcast. His sleep podcast is really funny because he reads super boring engineering stuff.
Oh, cool.
Like he'll read the manual from the original Apple IIe or something like that.
That's a good idea. I like that.
Yeah, it's chapter 3 of Fortran. You know, it's like
sexy.
That is a good way. That is an example by John of how to do an in podcast advertising spot correctly through Boostergrams.
Yes, that is a very good way. And I wanted to mention that we also hung out a bit with John Spurlock.
We did, great guy.
What a super nice guy. And look out, people, he's building an app.
Oh, is he?
And he's got time.
He didn't tell me that.
Yeah, he says, okay. So what are you doing, man? Because, you know, he's clearly a billionaire, one of those, you know, like those cool dudes, you know, just like, and you can see it. It's the subtle things of how he dresses. Like, okay, I see you, bro. I think he has a yacht. I'm pretty sure he has yacht vibe.
That's the thing about the super rich is they dress down. Subtle.
It's always the guy with the plastic bag. I'm telling you, that's always the rich guy. Anyway, so I said, what you doing, man? I said, I'm working on it. I'm thinking about it. I said, thinking about an app and how I'm going to do it. I'm like, oh man. Okay. I'm interested to see what you're going to come up with.
Sir Doug, 5,000 sats. Sorry for the break. My wallet ran dry and it took a while to get around to refilling. Boost. Let's see. 2222 from Macintosh. He says, hey gang, great episode with Dave and Jennifer. Your conversation about a boosted question about taxes got me thinking, is there any code available to handle the accounting of all these flying sats?
Ah.
The listeners don't have to manage it all, of course, but the podcasters really should. I mean, I can throw the IRS a fiver and call it a day because that would cover all my support. But some people do actually collect real amounts of sats. If there isn't anything, I might be able to jump in and work on it. I mean, I would say if you want to jump in and work on anything, please do it. Because here's what we use is called Balance of Satoshis. And it's a node app that just pulls every transaction off of your node and dumps out a bunch of CSV files. And it makes a call to CoinDesk or CoinGecko or one of those to get the fair market value at the timestamp that those sats came in. And that's what you need. So you need for every batch of sats that come into your node, you need to declare what the fair market value is in your local currency at that moment. So you need, you know, some API for historical lookups. And Balance Satoshis is fine, except that our node is so huge now that it's been run. I've been trying to dump May, June, and July from it, and it's on July now, and it's been running for 6 days.
That's how long dumps. It's. They call them dumps, big massive dumps.
it was running Node.js out of memory.
Yeah,
I had to upgrade the node to get more RAM.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So
well, no one was ever expecting this use case, obviously, or they had no idea, or no one thought through it. And you know, I have to say, Lightning Labs doesn't seem they care much about it.
They're doing database improvements.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot wait for 15.1 because that's going to make, evidently it's supposed to shrink the size of the database way, way, way down.
Mm.
We need that. We need that bad.
Oh yeah. I can't export from, I mean, Balance of Satoshis. If I just want to run a report for 3 days, takes 30 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, it's been running for almost a week.
Yeah.
Just to export three months of data.
Yeah. And it can time out at any minute.
Mm-hmm.
Or break.
Getting 503s all the time. Yeah. So Macintosh, if you want to write a better accounting package
I'd send you value for using that.
Oh heck yeah, I'd pay for it all day long. I'd pay $200 right now for that. Because it literally half the time just doesn't even work. Anyway, so and it's more than just FYI to dig deeper on this for just 1 second. It's more than just the boostergrams and stuff. When you run your own node, what you're running is a Lightning node that can receive sats, send sats, and forward sats as a relay. And if you have income from routing fees, you have, you know, that's got to be declared too. Not many people are going to have that, but if you do have routing fees, that's also income. Mm-hmm. And it's also a Bitcoin node. Every Lightning node is a Bitcoin node. So you have incoming and outgoing on-chain transactions also. So you really need something that's going to, and all that information is there. It's all in L&D. And so you can export it all. So you have to do all of those. You can't just say, okay, here's all the Boostergram donations that came in, unless that's literally all you're doing. And if that is, that's fine. But if your node has lots of channels and you do any routing, you got to have that too. So just FYI. Let's see. Sir Doug again, 5,000 sats. He says for Dame Jennifer.
All right, boost. Yes.
SLC? SLC?
Is it LC?
It's ESELSEE.
Oh, okay.
SLC. Okay. Send us 3333 sats, and he or she says, pew.
Pew. Hold on. Where's my pew? I lost my pew. I've been so obsessed with the horn.
Pew. The horn is very obsessive.
All right.
Mike Dell sent us 3333, and he says, did it work this time? Pew. Well, yes, it did, Mike.
It did. Oh, I was just looking at it because you're so right. Okay. I looked at the Tally coin because podcastindex.org. You can also send us fiat, the donut button. Donut to us.
Donuts. But you can also, love a donut.
You can
right
also
now.
Send sats. We got a Tally Ho boost, 96,263. Unfortunately,
Tally Ho!
Don't know who it's from. And a second one, the Tally Ho boost. This and the previous Tally Ho. Oh, it's Dreb Scott again, ladies and gentlemen.
Go, oh, God.
Oh, yeah. 72,200. He's given well over a million sats for this episode.
Good God Almighty, Dreb.
Thank you, Dreb. Thank you, man. I got it. Let me give him a little special. Hop on, Dreb. Let's ride it. Yeah,
lightning, ride the lightning boost.
Ride the lightning boost.
Pocket Parlay sent us 3,000 sats. I like that name, by the way.
Wow, Pocket Parlay.
Yeah, good work, guys, as always. Can I get a JCD boost, please?
Well, the JCD boost always comes in threes.
Boost, boost, boost.
You got it.
Mike Dell, 3333, is back.
Yo, yo.
He says, I'm now the podcasting 2.0 project manager at Blueberry.
Woo!
Yes.
Nice.
Boost!
And
go nice. Podcasting!
So that's official. That's an official. Uh-huh. I love it.
We'll send you a nameplate, Mike.
business card. Do you get new business cards? What does it say?
Yes,
podcasting 2.0 manager. I love it.
Project manager.
Project manager.
A dirty Jersey whore.
Hey.
18,008 sats. 18,008 says boobs plus boost. Cleaning out my wallet. Just thought I'd drop by and sling some sats your way. Go podcasting.
Baller.
Go podcasting.
Go. Whoa.
I didn't mean to do that. Accident.
It's the rubbery pads that get you.
Yeah, that's exactly
sticky.
What happened.
They're sticky.
Mm-hmm.
I Satoshi with you sent us 500 sats, and he says, thank you for all your podcasts.
We're happy to produce all of them.
Yes.
Our pods. Pods.
Martin Lindeskog sent us 1776 sats, and he says, I'm testing a boostergram via Podverse for the first time. Liberty Boost, 1776 set Satoshis. 50 sats going to the app as default setting. I look forward to testing out the live item tag someday. Martin Lindeskog, Lyceum Peripatos on Twitter.
Bombshell. This is actually cool. Now, I know that Podverse doesn't do the per minute streaming. They're working on that because of player things. But in the interface, when you set it up with your Albi wallet, you have an amount for the boosts. And then, although it's unclear if it's an addition or if it's separate, I think it's an addition. Then you can separately, and I think the default is 50 sats, you can boost 50 sats to the app, to Podverse, every single time you boost. Great way to do it. And you can configure it. Great way to do it. So it's not defined in the split. It's completely separate. It's clear. There's a suggested amount. You can do whatever you want. Great idea. I like that.
Yes. Yeah, that's perfect. That's
and it worked because you see someone understood it.
Mere Mortals Podcast back 11-1-11. He says, your boots on the ground report from PM22 was surprising, Adam. I hear a lot about woke stuff, but just don't see it much here in Brizzy. Hope you guys had fun anyway. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, no, we had a lot. Yeah. Are you kidding me? I got 35 minutes of free content out of that. It's great.
Yeah. Good time. No, we had a great time. Yeah. Yeah, great. Dude, yeah. That was a bonus. That was a bonus. Not super, a day. Yes.
No, and again, it just showed me that the escape hatch we've built is here. It's on time. We made it. Mm-hmm. People have an alternative path, and it's clear. And if you went during lunchtime to the small conference room around the corner in the back, you might have found out about it.
So people should not have us at their conferences, because every time we show up, controversial things happen. That's, we went to the right. Bitcoin Miami conference, and Jack Dorsey got accosted on stage.
That's right.
by a state senator. Yeah.
Do you want the wrong kind of PR for your conference? Invite Adam and Dave.
Yes, yes. Brian of London and the Hive DAO sent us 46,972 sats through the V4V app.
Yo, yo.
He says, you've probably answered this already. I want to hear about Podping at Wokecast Movement. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Yeah, we've already talked about it already. Yep. Gave a little Podping talk earlier. Thank you, Brian. Lyceum, 1776. Liberty Boost. And he says, I'll send a big baller boostergram next time. It is a reference to bowling. It is time to strike out some stuff in PC Podosphere with better arguments and intellectual ammo. Thanks for standing up for freedom of expression. Your work is positive fossil fuel for my soul. Best premises, Martin Lindskog from Lyceum Parapatos on Twitter. Thank you,
Martin. Thanks, Martin.
Appreciate that. 55 sats from Pfeiffer from the Folk Hour. Mm. He says, go podcasting.
Go podcasting!
Oh, that boost came in through the podcast index website.
Huh, cool. That works.
It's working.
It's coming in from everywhere. It is working. Love it.
River City Mystery sent us 10,000 sats.
Nice. Thank you very much.
He says,
boost.
Go podcasting, Matt, the River City Mystery Podcast.
Go podcasting!
B Glass 2 sent us 3223 through Fountain. And he says, this is a boost for Dame Jennifer.
Oh, very nice.
Boost!
Very sweet.
Or should we do...
Here's your cue to boost. You know you want to.
Stay tuned next week for the math jingle.
Yo, yo.
2110 from Moritz from Albi. Oh, through the podcast index website. Nice. And he says, when's the hackathon? Man,
stand soon. By. I'll, stand
two
by.
Weeks, 2 weeks with Moritz.
By.
2 weeks.
Stand by.
B-Glass 2 sent us another 3223 for Dame Jennifer. Thank you. He says, oh, wait, that's me. That was a test boost for me. And then we got 4554 from Nomad Joe through Fountain. And he says, eat more beef.
Okay.
Yes. Boost!
We need a cow boost. I don't have a cow boost.
And we got the Delimiter, comic strip blogger.
There he is.
15,033 sats. He says, howdy, Dave and Adam. Next time you go to Podcast Movement Conference and you need person of color due to diversity quota, you can take me. My skin color is pink, just like pig skin color. Anyways, you're warmly welcome to listen to our podcast called AI.Cooking, narrated by Gregory William Forsyth Foreman from Kent. Just type in your web browser or podcast app, AI.Cooking.
AI.Cooking. Yo! Gregory William Forsyth Foreman from Kent. AI.Cooking in your podcast.
I don't think pink is what anybody has in mind, but thanks for the offer, comment strip blogger.
Yeah, totally appreciate it. Thank you all. Yes. Thank you all so much for providing the value. It helps. The trip costs money, so thank you very much for helping out. We did buy a couple of drinks for people, although a lot of people bought us drinks too. So, we weren't like loser heels, you know. We actually we participated in the value exchange. So thank you for supporting our trip here and for supporting podcasting 2.0. It's humbling, it's beautiful, and we are a prime example of the escape hatch open wide for anybody to jump through it. If you'd like to support us, go to podcastindex.org. Down at the bottom of that front page, you've got a red donate button, or donut as you prefer. And from there, you can send us fiat fund coupons through PayPal. You can use a QR code for on-chain or for Lightning. Or go to newpodcastapps.com and get yourself one of those fancy podcast apps that does value for value.
We got some monthlies. Just to follow it up, we've got Pod News. Thank you, James. $50.
Ooh, thanks, James.
Yeah, thanks. Dwayne Goldie. It's good to see him in person, by the way. It's good. Mm-hmm. had a nice chat with him last night about some
what is he? What does Dwayne do? Thing.
Oh no! I was talking about James.
Oh okay. Oh yeah. No, it was, yeah. James is tall. You know who's really tall?
He's a very tall man.
Rob Greenlee's tall.
Is he taller than you?
Yes.
Is Rob Greenlee taller than you?
He's 6'8".
Good God Almighty!
You know, if we get me, Greenlee, and Cridlin, we have the start of the Podcasting 2.0 basketball team.
That's right. Yes, you do. And if your entire basketball team is going to be all centers,
exactly.
then you're fine. You have no point guards.
We just need no point guards. There's a bunch of other guys around us.
Yes, right. Dwayne Goldie, $8. Paul Erskine, $11.14. Michael Goggin, $5. Charles Current, $5. James Sullivan, $10. Sean McCune, $20. Thank you, Sean. Christopher Reamer, $10. Cohen Glossbach, $5. Jordan Dunville, $10. Stu Coates, $6.66. The evil donation. Michael Kimmerer, $5.33. Dreb Scott, again, $15.
Oh, man. Thank you so much,
Jeff Dreb. Miller, $20. And Leslie Martin, $2. Thank you to everybody.
Really appreciate it. Good value for value. Good week. I'm glad we came. I'm glad we got to see everybody. I think the big benefit was hanging out with people that we're working with or people who are interested. We could do this without it being necessarily a conference. You know, in fact, there's so many different ways we could meet periodically, which I think is really good. It's just stuff you can't do on Mastodon or email or even video calls. You know,
I'd love to just have like a podcasting 2 meetup.
Yeah,
you know, once a year or so, just jettison the live music and the salespeople, and just have a meetup and just have some good conversation and some food.
Yeah,
and just talk about stuff for a day.
Exactly.
That would be much more enjoyable to me, actually.
Oh, I totally agree. And if we do it in Vegas, then we can get hookers and blow at the same time.
There's a lot of good boosts that come out of that.
All right, ma'am. So what are you doing today? Because I'm gonna hoof it on out of here. I'm going to go home, spend the night with my wife. Tomorrow, I'm driving back to Austin for BitBlock Boom, which I committed to. And, you know, Gary... Leland, the old podcast pickle guy who sold the conference. He started BitBlock Boom. He's asked me for years. I've always weaseled out of it. I tried to get out of it again this year. I really did. But I owe it to him, and it's good for us because there will be people there that, you know, are interested in what we're doing.
Good.
But so I'm just, and then I'll be very tired. I'll be very tired. Yeah, I'm bailing out tonight, so I'm sorry. What you got? Anyone you're gonna hang with? You got anyone? Yeah, basically, are you gonna be okay if I leave you alone?
Oh, I'll be okay. I'll be okay, Dad. I'm gonna go hang out. First thing I'm gonna do is eat because I'm starving.
We have not eaten well this time. No.
I'm going to go get some food, and then I'm going to meet up with John Spurlock, I think.
Cool.
He said he wanted to talk about some stuff.
Yeah, about his app. You watch.
I want to talk about some stuff, and then just say goodbyes and stuff. I'm trying to decide if I want to leave early tonight and then just like split the difference, like maybe drive 4 hours tonight.
Crash somewhere underway.
Crash somewhere on a roadside hotel, and then do the next leg tomorrow morning. That would get me back earlier than like 5 o'clock in the afternoon tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, whatever you want to do it. And I think we can agree, the board and management of which you are equal shareholder will approve this huge additional expense.
Double approved. We have a quorum.
We actually did that on text. I'm going to order that shitty breakfast burrito room serves. Yeah, I'm doing the same. Approved. Okay.
Approved.
Hey, but we're careful with the community funds here. You know, it's highly appreciated what comes in. There's no frivolity involved.
No. none at all.
All right. Well, will you say goodbyes for anybody I didn't see and tell them that had a good time? Yeah. Dynamite. And it was great seeing you, Dave. Third time in our lives we've actually been together in the same room. I think. It was really good.
It's amazing that we've done so much crazy crap and we've only met three times.
Yeah, it just goes to show. Yeah, safe travels. Safe travels, my brother.
All right. You too, man.
All right. Everybody, thank you very much for being here once again for the board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. We will be back next Friday. Please join us, will you? Till then, everybody, bye-bye.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!